Okay, Randy, thanks again for joining me today. We're going to wrap up our three-part series here, and I kind of wanted to talk about, we've talked a lot about the history of LTI, where it started, where you and Russ came together, and Phil, and what you guys did early on. I know one of the big things that LTI has done in its history was something called the Phoenix Project. Can you talk a little bit about what that was and what that's become?
Sure. The Phoenix Project is a project that we determined that we wanted to undertake ourselves as an organization. And it really is kind of the rewrite of our current, or at that time was current, Lease Plus application into a completely new application. The Lease Plus product had run for many, many years. We still have many customers using today. It had a life cycle of well over 20 years. Mm-hmm. But technology is changing, and it's changing rapidly in the world today. And one of the things that we determined a long time ago was that we needed to kind of think about, instead of waiting for somebody to come out with something else, why don't we develop something ourselves? And sure. So it was a large undertaking. It was something that we talked to many of our clients about. They were very excited about it. They had relied on us, and we had built a great reputation for service and support and with our existing products that we had, but we wanted something new. And so we decided, instead of going out and raising a bunch of capital like a lot of companies do to develop this product, we decided that we were going to develop the product and fund it ourselves internally with our own profits. And so the Phoenix Project is something that we started during the economic downturn, probably 2007, 2008.
Okay.
A lot of our competitors and a lot of people in the marketplace were kind of shrinking back during that large economic downturn. And we decided to do something which was kind of bold and innovative at the same time.
Oh, absolutely.
We decided to take a lot of money that we had made in the company over a period of time. We decided to design and go out and invest in a brand new product, which in essence is our Aspire system today.
Yeah.
And that product, while other companies were not selling as many systems as they normally did, we were not selling as many systems as we normally did mm-hmm. either during the economic downturn. But what we were doing was we were investing during the economic downturn in this new product. And we knew that the economy was going to come back because we'd already been in business for well over 20 years
right.
and worked
seen
through
those cycles.
And seen those different business cycles. So we decided that that's really what we wanted to do. And so we invested. We hired a large group of people that actually are still at LTI today, which is we really enhanced our development group, our quality assurance group, uh-huh. and our business development group, and set out to architect and design what really is Aspire version 5 today.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of was looking out into the future as to what we felt like the industry needed to have coming out of the recession. And it was also kind of looking at technology and where it was going. And we saw, as a company, there was a lot of our competitors were using older technology. They were investing a little bit in some of that technology. They were making some of their products Windows-based. While we already had a Windows-based product for many, many years, we wanted to get beyond that and sort of leapfrog what was happening in the industry. And we decided to build a new infrastructure and architecture that we think is much more adaptable, is much more configurable, is really kind of what people are looking for today, using database structures that I think are what companies are looking for. So we invested a lot of money over a short period of time to do that ourselves. And we're very fortunate in that we had done well. We had a large customer group. We talked to our customers about it. They were very excited about it. And so we just thought, hey, we're going to use the leverage of that customer base and the money that we had made over a period of time, and we're going to reinvest in ourselves and to expand our company and our business. And really, in essence, that's how it's turned out to be. When we started this effort, we had about 53 people.
Okay.
We quickly ramped up to probably 20 to 25 people in the ramp up of the Aspire Phoenix project. Kept our heads down and worked away. We were continuing to sell our Lease Plus solutions in the marketplace during that time.
Sure.
And then as the economic cycle eased and people were coming out of the economic cycle, it was no longer a case of, hey, we're just going to be doing workout situations on their business that they were doing. They were looking to expand and grow. Mm-hmm. There was new energy back in the marketplace, and there was new money coming back in the marketplace, and we had a lot of success in launching our Aspire system in the, you know, basically in the 2010 through 2012 timeframe. And since then, we've had a lot of success, and obviously our business has grown dramatically since then. And it was, you know, in hindsight, it was somewhat scary to invest like that. But at the same time, we really felt good about our people. We felt good about our customer base. And it was probably the best thing that we ever did as far as the company is concerned. And it's really helped us get to where we are today. To succeed in this marketplace, you have to continue to invest in your products. And that's we continue to do. And that's really been sort of our mantra from the very beginning. LTI, Lease Team previously, you know, we invest back in our business in a very large way. And we're independently owned. We own our own business. And so we can make our own decisions. We don't have to go to the bank. We don't have to go to an investment group and say, hey, this is what we're thinking about doing. Do we need to go out and raise a bunch of money? It's like our business throws off cash, and we use that money where we think it's going to best fit our business and continue to grow our business. Yeah. So I think that's really kind of like from a historical perspective, it's been nice to see that happen. Technology is really driving equipment finance companies today, and they're spending a lot of money on it, and they want a partner that is going to invest and do the things that they're looking to do in a general time frame that they're looking to do it themselves. Yeah. But there's other things that we're doing too from a technology perspective that I think are really going to give our clients a leg up on their competition. And that's really kind of what drives us and what drove us to make this change is we met with many of our key clients, and they said, we want you to do this. We want you to invest in this because this goes hand in hand where we're going as a company. We're looking to expand and grow in marketplaces as well. And these new tools that you're developing with this new technology in Aspire is going to allow us to ramp up and grow our business and be better than their competition. Yep. And when you hear that as a software company, you say, yeah, there's a market for this that's out there, okay? We don't wait for the market to change. We look at what's happening in the market, and then we invest our own dollars to do that while other people are sort of like, they get to a point, they're smaller, they don't have the resources or the customer base to continue to drive the dollars into their organization, and they aren't great stewards for their clients. And that to us is really what is going to continue to make us successful and has made us successful, and that's kind of what drives us. So sometimes our competition drives us a little bit, but a lot of times we kind of keep an eye on what's going on out there from a competitive perspective, but what really drives us is really what our customers are looking for. And then we look for opportunities to invest our money in our systems to help create solutions that are better than anything else in the marketplace. You're never done developing in this business, okay? Yeah. And that's the point that I think is really important is what we kind of looked at back when we started. We said, well, we can continue to dump more and more dollars into the R&D of our existing back-end Lease Plus product, but is it really moving the needle for us long-term? Mm-hmm. Not like in the next 2 to 3 years, but what's it going to look like 5 to 10 years out?
Yeah.
To still be on a solution that's like that. We really wanted to redesign and redevelop the product and come out with something that we thought would really have a lot of traction in the marketplace, in the existing marketplace that we had, but we also wanted to go up in market, and this product has really allowed us to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
And that to us is like what was sort of driving our thinking. We've always run a really good conservative type organization, and we felt like we can do this ourselves. We don't have to go out and ask for anybody's permission. We have the people that wanted to do it. We had the kind of the good blessings of our top customers who said, yes, you know, go for it, do it. We would love to see you guys do this, and we'll be behind you guys when you have this product out and we'll go on that product. So
when you had a bit of a safety net, it sounds like a profitability.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, we've got the money coming in, we've got a foundation that's going to keep coming in.
Sure.
And you have the kind, the hope of, well, our customers are wanting this. So once it's built, we have a pretty good feeling that it's going to do well because people are responding very positively to this idea.
Yeah, it's kind of that old concept, build it, they will come. We said, yes, we need to build this and we need to invest in this. It wasn't like we went blind into it. We
right.
figured out a plan of how we could use our business and the profit and the cash flow of our business in order to accomplish that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've accomplished that.
Yeah.
And that's how we've done it. And it's
I feel like there's just a really good lesson there in how
yeah.
that was executed. And it's not, we had an idea, and it wasn't just that we had this idea and it's like, we're going to build it and hope people come. It's, we have this idea, but we did the research to ask, is this a viable idea?
Yeah.
Do people want this? Do our customers want this? And then is there space for this in the broader market as well?
Right. And then you have to figure out how you're going to finance it and how you're going to be able to do the things that you want to do, because it's a multi-year project. It's
yeah.
not something that just takes like, oh, in 6 months, we'll have this thing rewritten exactly. It's,
right.
No, it takes a long period of time. It takes a lot of investment. You have to have a potential return on that investment.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have growth because you want to. Growth helps a lot of things. It helps keep your best people here. It helps bring new people into the organization. It helps your customer base. Our customers want us to grow because
yeah.
that's an insurance policy for them that we're going to be around to continue to take care of them
oh,
too.
Absolutely, yeah.
So they're right on board with it. They've been our greatest champions out
mm-hmm.
there right along with us. And so it's a great blessing to have great customers. It's a great blessing to be able to provide and service great customers. It's a great blessing for me personally to watch our customer grow and be successful.
Yeah.
Because when our customers are growing and being successful, there's nothing better than that.
What I thought was really valuable about that was the idea that you guys started talking about this 2005, 2006,
yeah.
started doing the planning and the research. You started kind of developing it in the 2007, 2008, which was right at the bottom of the economic
right.
plummet.
You know, we're fortunate that we're from Omaha, and it's kind of like the old Warren Buffett adage, which is sort of like he likes to buy on the drops in the marketplace.
Right.
And when he knows that things are going to come back up again, you know, he's sort of a contrarian investor from that perspective, and he's obviously made... He and his and all of the different investors have made a lot of money because of that, and so you have to be smart about it. You know, you can't do something crazy
mm-hmm.
and put your company at risk. But we also kind of looked at it and said, well, everybody else is kind of talking about drawing their horns in. We're out there pretty much being quiet about what we're doing, but we're investing in the heaviest levels that we ever did. It was an economic downturn that I had never quite seen one quite that severe myself in my lifetime. I also knew that, you know, this too shall pass, and there's going to be an upswing. And so you have to be ready for it. And I think we were ready for it coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And people were very willing to look at new technology coming out of it, because I think the thing that happened was there was a little bit of a consolidation in the marketplace during the downturn, because some leasing companies went out that weren't managed well or structured
yeah.
well. But what also happened is a lot of leasing companies said, this is our opportunity to grow. They either consolidated with other leasing companies, or they started, the ones that were strong became even stronger.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really kind of what happened with us, is we had a fairly strong company. We were kind of quiet, but always financially very strong in how we conducted our business. We were really good at execution.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is like one of the key things, is that you can't just have good ideas. You have to be able to execute at those ideas.
Right.
And Russ and Jeff and now Bill Weeks and all of our people are really good at execution. And it takes a talent to be good at that. That doesn't mean that you have it right every time the first time, but you're able to continue to apply resources until you get it right.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really has helped drive us. And that's really what you need to have with a product that's coming into the marketplace. And it's been very good from that perspective. The thing about our business is you have to continue to keep learning. You have to be open to new ideas and new things. in order to continue to learn and grow your business. So you can't stop learning and you can't stop doing things that will help you. You have to always invest in those things, because when we invest in those, it really helps our customers at the end of the road. And that's really what we're all about, is, you know, making sure that our customers are successful, because when they are, we're going to be too. This is our 30th year in business, and seems kind of crazy to talk about it, but that's always been the driver for us, is we're inquisitive people. We understand technology. We're innovative, but we're innovative not only in the products that we deliver, but we're innovative in how we want to work as an organization to better ourselves too, yeah. Which helps our clients, and our clients see that.
Going into the Phoenix Project and knowing what this was going to be, what it could be, what was the most surprising thing for you when it did launch that you said, wow, we didn't even think about that?
I was pretty surprised by the level of enthusiasm that was out there for this product when we first launched it. And I knew that there was going to be a level of enthusiasm from our current customers, because all along the way, kind of in a quiet way, we were in contact with our customers. Mm-hmm. We were showing them things that we were doing. They were part of our circle of excellence as far as helping make decisions on different types of things and how we went about doing those things within the product. So it wasn't like we just all of a sudden just launched a product that nobody knew anything about. Our customers were fairly well informed during the whole process, because we looked at them as strategic partners and making sure that this was going to be successful. We didn't want to develop a project and then don't have a customer base for that project. But what I was really surprised with was the enthusiasm of the industry in general. People that were in the marketplace that weren't clients of ours started to say, like, wow, maybe we should take a look at this Aspire solution here. Uh-huh. And we should maybe take a look at, these were growing companies. A lot of them were growing companies that we really never had an opportunity to talk to before. We're now starting to look at our products, and they were starting to say, wow, you guys really have something here. You guys have really done some things, because some of the legacy systems that we're using today don't do necessarily what your system does from a rich feature function set for number one, but from a technology perspective, you guys have something here that we would have an interest in taking a look at. It's really kind of what's outside the industry that affects the industry, sort of in this way. Okay, FedEx absolutely will be delivering packages within the very next day.
Yeah.
Okay? Credit card machines. You can swipe a credit card, and within 10 or 15 seconds, you have an approval.
Right.
Amazon, you want to order on Christmas Day, Christmas Eve, we'll still have your product delivered on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Okay. That sort of drives thoughts within the industry, which is, how do we do things faster, more productive, and get the customers what they want in a shorter period of time? Mm-hmm. That has an effect on equipment finance, in that our customers want fast decisions, want their equipment as quickly as they possibly can, need to have a decision made in a very short period of time, not just in small ticket transactions, but in middle market deals and larger type structured deals as well. And that drives the business. So you can't be running on an old legacy platform that doesn't allow for that. Okay.
Right.
That just puts you behind your competitors. And so people start looking at that when we came out with the systems, people that weren't doing business with us, and said, wow, if we could turn our cycle times from, on small ticket, from 3 to 4 days to maybe like 1 day or a matter of 2 or 3 hours, that would just be awesome. A lot of these companies also had middle market divisions. If we could get approvals done within a very short period of time, which sometimes might have been taking weeks or many, many days down to a few days, that would really help us get these transactions done. How can we service those customers better? How can we be responsive to them? Technology drives that. If you're on a legacy system and you don't have that, you're kind of getting behind the curve.
Right.
And what you're seeing is, you saw some of the fastest growing equipment finance companies, and we still see it, using our products in the marketplace. So we could go to the Monitor 100 and people would say, wow, who are all these new companies, you know, between 50 and 100? You know, a good percentage of those companies, 50% of those companies were our customers.
Sure.
People are getting smart and they want to use technology that makes sense for them, and they want to deliver something to their customers that their customers value.
Right.
And our solution came out at the right point in time and people started looking at it. So
yeah, because 2011 or so, that's kind of when things really started to improve quite right. a bit more. And
right. We used to look
confidence
at...
Confidence was increasing.
Yeah. And we used to look at maybe on an annual basis, 3-4 RFPs. We were getting 5 or more RFPs a month. So that helps you. Every engagement that you have with somebody helps you. That doesn't mean you win every engagement, but I think when people engage with us, they understand our genuineness, they understand our sincerity. Mm-hmm. They also get a look at what our products can do, and they're pretty impressed. I'm not saying that they're constantly doing business with us, but many companies have gone away and said, I have to say, I'm very impressed with what you guys have done because you have really designed a great product here, and it seems to be very scalable. And here's where the rubber hits the road. From a customer service perspective, if you provide great service, mm-hmm. exceptional service to your customers, they will probably tell 5 or 6 other people that they know. If you do a horrible job and you do not have consistency in your customer service, it doesn't really matter how good your product is. They will tell 13 people. So you want to be on the good side of that, okay?
Absolutely.
So because that can put you out of business pretty rapidly. Our business has been going on for 30 years, and we've had a great, sustainable, successful business, and we're going to continue to do that. That's really kind of the future for us. Is we have a lot of plans for the future and how we're going to get better. And so you have to have a platform that you can do that on, and you have to run a really, really good organization in order to do that. But you also have to execute at the end of the day. And that's really something that we've always spent a lot of time on, and we continue to spend time on, is the execution part of our business. Because to me, that is, in fact, the most important part of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and you learn that pretty quickly.
So 30 years since you helped co-found this company. As you kind of look back on that, is there a real sense of maybe relief that some of the chances you took, some of the opportunities you went for, even some of the failures you had to endure, are you able to look back and just kind of like, I'm so glad this worked?
Well, I don't know. I have kind of a different sense about business in general, and that is that, yeah, I look back and certainly when you go back 30 years and how it was at the very beginning and your decision-making processes and things like that that you go through. One of the things that I think is really key is for our business and our company and our ownership is we're not afraid to make mistakes. I think you have to be able to make some mistakes to figure out what the right way is. I think when you're first in business, you sometimes are frozen and you don't do you don't do the things that you probably need to do because you're so fearful of what if it went bad or if it went good, and you're kind of like, just make a decision and move on. And at first it was sort of like that because, you're in the business school, they tell you all the theory, you're out in the real world with your business. Now you're running a business.
Yeah.
Are you making mistakes? Yeah, you're making a lot of mistakes over a period of time, but you're also doing a lot of right things over a period of time as well. And you have to have great confidence and stick-to-itiveness sometimes too, because sometimes you gradually, through iterative improvements, you get to the right place. But if you make a mistake and say, oh, that's it, I can't invest anymore, or I'm afraid to invest in new ideas and new things, it doesn't get you where you need to go. So I think one of the greatest learning lessons for us as an organization is that thought process, that energy of getting out of bed every day, looking forward to coming to work, enjoying our industry that we're in, enjoying our customers, always learning, making a few mistakes along the way, but don't try to make those same mistakes more than one time.
So
you learn from that. And so you have a tendency in business to sometimes look at the negative things, but there's a lot of positive things going on all the time. Don't let the small things inhibit you from getting to the bigger things. And sometimes that's through mistakes that you get there. but you have to invest in that. And there's nothing wrong with making mistakes, especially good, educated decisions that you think that you're going to make.
Right.
But I think for us, it's like have your plan and your master plan, your 3-year, 5-year, 10-year plans. We're very fortunate to have Russ and Jeff within the organization because they're great at strategic planning. Bill Weeks is great at strategic planning as well. And help design that and create that in pencil. But have your eraser pretty close by.
Sure.
Because you're going to need it as you go through on the execution side, mm-hmm. to make changes, to get things so that you get it right, so that someday that you have it, okay? And you really can't be afraid. You have to go in. Once you have the right information and you have a consensus, move forward. I think you can really get jaded if you think you have all the right answers, because I can tell you, I don't have all the right answers. I have answers that are within my sphere of influence and things that I'm really knowledgeable about. Other answers need to come from other people who we have here that are excellent, that can give us the right answers.
Sure.
Okay. I have to rely on them. And that's how you grow people. And that's how you have a good company. It's like, you can't be all knowing, at least in our business. I don't feel like I can. And today I'm very inquisitive still, just like I always have been. I listen to what our customers have to say. I'm very interested in what our customers are thinking, mm-hmm. and that helps me make the right decisions.
Sure. What is, at this stage in your career, what are the things you look forward to most going forward now with the company, or just even with yourself, that you're excited about?
I'm really excited about a number of things. One is, I'm really excited about our company right now, mm-hmm. and I'm excited about the leadership that we have in place here. We started thinking about our executive leadership, maybe someday when Russ or Randy aren't going to be here, who's going to continue to run this
sure.
business. So we started thinking about that probably 10 years ago. And we have an awesome executive management group that I really like working with every day. I'm telling you, I'm very excited to get out of bed every morning and come to work. And that's just how I am as a person. But I love being here. I love interacting with them. I mentor some of our people. They ask me questions
yeah.
because they're kind of in the early stages of their executive level career. Some of them have been executive level people for quite a period of time. And I'm excited about watching them make decisions and then also providing the proper guidance when I feel like I need to.
Yeah.
Okay. But I work in the business every day too. And I really enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
And I always have, and I probably always will. That's not for everybody, but just for me and my personality, it's great. So I don't know that I'm personally going to be like leaving at any period of time. Somebody asked me that actually when I was out in Washington, D.C. this week, like, well, how much longer are you going to be in the business? And it's sort of like, you know, today I can do pretty much anything that I want to in the business. I like what I'm doing right now. I like working with Brian and our sales and our marketing and our business development group. I'm very close to that entire team. And I think I have a lot to offer yet. And when I feel like I don't, then I'll probably retire.
Sure.
Okay. But I don't want to be here if there's no purpose for me to be here. But right now, I think there's a really good purpose for me to be here. And I'm excited about some of the new investments that we're working on and some of the new things. I'm excited to be a part of that strategy and help out. I know a tremendous amount of people in this business, and that kind of keeps me going too. And I enjoy the business. So as long as I love the business and I love coming to work and I love working and accomplishing things for our people internally and for our customers, I'm going to be here. My kids are growing. They're successful. They happen to work here, and I'm proud that they are here. I'm proud that they're smart and they're good and they work well. But I work with Jeff for so many years. I mean, I worked with Jeff for over 25 years, and Brian for a long period of time, who's our chief revenue officer, and Philip and Russ, and a lot of the people have been here for a long period of time. I love those guys, and I love all the work that they do and how they've really grown themselves. They're just doing a terrific job, and it's great to see them continue to do well in the business because they deserve it, okay? And I hope to continue to be here and be part of this for a good period of time. At some point, of course, I will retire and do something else. But I think for me personally, I'm excited about what we're doing, and I'm for what we're doing, and I'm for what we're doing in the future, and I think we got a great future here.